Blog Talk Radio.
Here with John Crowder.
I firmly believe in Token the Ghost, right? Have a little Jehovah Wanna.
No pie in the sky when you die by and by.
And I want to say to all you scribes, Pharisees, heresy hunters, all of you that are going around picking little bits of a doctrinal error out of everybody's eyes.
Bam! 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 Boom! Bam! 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 Bam!
We're not going to shoot you.
Welcome to Apostasy Alert with Jackie Alnor on Rapture Ready Radio.
Hi, welcome to Apostasy Alert. I'm your host, Jackie Alnor. Do you know it's only 1 week away until our next Women on the Watch conference? This year, the theme is going to be Dangers, Toils, and Snares in the End Times, and it's going to be held at Calvary Chapel Cypress in Orange County, Cypress, California, and it's the opening remarks by the pastor, who happens to be Rapture Ready Radio host Chris Quintana. He is going to be on what is the real mission of the church. And the other speakers include Carol Matriciana and Johanna Michelson and Deborah Menelaus. She is a Christian filmmaker out of Scotland, and of course, yours truly. So if you want more information, go to my webpage, Apostasy Alert, and check out the links to the Women on the Watch conference. Now, I would like to play some clips from last year's conference. Last year's theme was The Leaven is Spreading. So up first is going to be Carol Matriciana speaking on the Old Mystics and the Desert Fathers, followed by Johanna Michelson on Testing the Spirits. Hope you enjoy.
The Fathers really, were such a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. The point is that the new mystics, the new emerging church, the new heretics, apostates of today, a lot of their teachings are based in the Desert Fathers. And so we need to sort of know who were these people and what was this thing that was taking place. I was born and raised in India. I was actually fifth generation born in India, and I was raised a Roman Catholic. And Roman Catholicism was birthed out of the Desert Fathers. And it's important to see where our history is and where today's church. There is nothing new under the sun, as the Bible says. And Satan has been opposed to the Word of God since Genesis. And where the Word of God comes up and the authority of God comes up, Satan will say, "Hath God said?" Because he wants to buck what God has said. Thank you, dear. Nobody brought any up to me, did they? Thank you so much. That's so sweet. So the point is, the attack has been on the Word. And if it's not on the Word of God and the authority of this Bible, it has been on the Word that was made flesh, Jesus Christ. And we see Satan's absolute hatred for this Word everywhere. I was going to start in Acts 20, where the church began. Because what we see today, 2,000 years later, is the counterfeit, the apostate church. So when we hear of the apostate church, we need to always weigh it out against the real. Because in order to be able to know the counterfeit, we have to be able to know what the real is. That's the way to work out what counterfeit money is. You will not recognize counterfeit money if you don't know what real money is. And hold it up against the light, see the mark in it, see the watermark in it, then you'll know that what you've got, if it's a rotten piece of paper, you can compare it against the good. So what we need to do is see the real church. And we're told the story of that in Acts at Pentecost, where remember that Jesus is resurrected. Jesus has dwelt amongst hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people for 40 days. He is alive. He is explaining the scriptures. And it so shakes up the Jews that are in Jerusalem. Now, why were there so many Jews in Jerusalem at the time? There was the Feast of the Passover. And they came from all over the world because the temple was still standing and they had to come and sacrifice the lambs. The lambs came from Bethlehem, and the shepherds were the ones that the hosts, the heavenly angels, came down to the shepherds in Bethlehem to say that a lamb, that the Messiah is born. And of course Jesus was called the Lamb of God. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, where all the sheep were reared in Bethlehem to be brought to the temple to be slaughtered at Passover. So when we have these wonderful pictures in history to see that Jesus was the fulfillment of the lamb that was slain even in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, and the shedding of blood took place for Adam and Eve's sin to be covered with an animal sacrifice. And then there's John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God coming." So the importance of the word, the importance of the fulfillment of the Lamb, the importance of the power of the word, Jesus made flesh, is what we need to stand on and know and place our authority in today when the apostate church is coming in and trying to trip us up. So we've seen that Jesus was walking around 40 days, he's resurrected, and then he is taken up, he's ascended, and the angels are standing with the apostles saying, "Why are you standing here? The way that he's gone up is the way he's going to come down." So we as the church need to look for the appearing, the coming of Christ, coming down again. Now at the moment there's a counterfeit Messiah that is being planned to be reared, the one world Messiah. He is coming from earth. He is not going to be coming down. He is the counterfeit. But the world, the dominionists, the new theology, the new mystics, the new church, the redefined church, the redefined Jesus is all preaching that we have to get the kingdom ready so that this new Messiah can come from earth. So we now know he's gone up. He's going to come down, and all the Jews are told to stay in Jerusalem. And this incredible thing happens in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, this is Acts 2 verse 1, they were all together in one place. That's all the Jews come from all over the world to sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. Funny that we're talking about the fire, but there's the fire. Tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the real fire. This is the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Johanna, who's going to be talking tomorrow, Johanna and I went to a Todd Bentley meeting in Los Angeles where the anointing was done. It was the saddest, probably one of the saddest things I have ever seen. When 500 pastors were anointed by a demonically filled man of God, Todd Bentley, and I had seen some years ago, because I make movies, and I bought some of them, but I made about 60 documentaries in the last couple of decades, and about 10 years ago, I filmed in Oregon for the Rajneesh cult, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, who was in Oregon, where there was a mass anointing of thousands of orange-clad sannyasins. And when Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh did his sort of cosmic masturbation up here, you know, where it's a horrible thing to see, where people are demonically possessed with demons. And you can see, because they're clad in orange and because they're Hindu, they're following Hinduism, and you kind of know that it's, you know it's wrong. But when, as Joe and I saw, 5,000 Christians came to listen to Todd Bentley, 500 pastors and their wives went into a room to be anointed by this master deceiver who came in the name of Jesus, blowing the wind as though they were being filled with the Holy Spirit, so they could take the anointing back to their churches in Australia, New Zealand, England, filling their churches with demonic spirits because of the counterfeits that had come in. We have to really, really know the Word of God and understand what's happening. It is so, so horrible. And when it's cleaned up in westernized type of jargon with Christian terminology and redefined, it just breaks my heart, and it should break all of ours to be able to come back to the truth so that we can help people to know the truth, because it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And if we don't know the gospel, we are not going to be able to set people free for eternal life. So here we see that the room is filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. This is what we need to take in, because the Desert Fathers was the counterfeit. Every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. Remember, these Jews came from Africa, India, Asia, Persia, so they had many, many, many different languages that they spoke to come to Jerusalem and shed, buy their, purchase their lamb from Bethlehem in order to purchase their be involved in the sacrificial slaughter of the lamb for their sins in Jerusalem. So these people were amazed and marveled, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galilean? So they can hear these languages, and they're surprised because here they are in Galilee. And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? This is the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, that this Word of God speaks to us each, no matter what culture we come from, no matter what color we are, no matter what background, that the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts in such a passionate and alive way is just so exciting. So they hear it, and they say, how is it that we hear them in our own language to which we were born? Now, this is the list I want us to take special care of. The people that were here came, they were Parthians and Medes, these are Persians, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, now, these are ancient places that I know have now got names like Turkey and Afghanistan, and much easier to pronounce names, but here we are, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, that's those who converted Judaism, and Cretans and Arabs, and we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. So in other words, here's the Holy Spirit at a time when the Lord had people from every nation, Jews from every nation here gathered. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And now, remember, they've had 40 days being taught by Jesus. They've actually heard the word from the Lord Jesus Christ based on the prophets. And I take you back to Romans 1 for that, because it's really important that we understand what the gospel is, particularly at this time when the gospel is being attacked. Romans 1, 1 to 7, these are the true apostles. This is the true gospel. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets, the Holy Scriptures. This is what the gospel is based on. The holy prophets and the scriptures. If anything deviates from what Jesus fulfilled through the prophets, taught by Jesus to the apostles, taught to us Gentiles through Paul, we must be careful of a counterfeit gospel that gives us another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:3-4. I fear for you, lest you hear, and that lest Eve, that your mind gets deceived the way the serpent deceived Eve, and you fall for a different gospel, a different Jesus, and a different spirit, and you take it so beautifully. Be careful that we're well grounded in what was promised to us beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I stress these seven verses is because this is where the Desert Fathers broke away from this and went to a counterfeit teaching which set up an apostate church, which was then the Roman Catholic Church. And I say it with the greatest of sadness, because I was a very, very devout Roman Catholic. For 20 years of my life, every day from 7 years onwards, I went to Mass every day. I went to Mass 3 times on Sunday. I did my rosary every day. I went to Holy Communion every day after I was confirmed, through giving the name of a dead saint whose character I took on, who I prayed to every day, lit candles to the dead. I was an extremely devout Catholic based on what the Desert Fathers taught and passed down through Roman Catholicism, which deceives and dupes hundreds of thousands, and today is part of the ecumenical movement, which is part of the new mystics that want to unite us back under the papacy, because the Roman Catholic Church truly believes that Jesus Christ cannot return until the whole world is Catholic. And I'm going to tell you later on the prayer that I recited, which is part of what got me into the New Age, which was rooted here in the Desert Fathers. So, what was happening? We have all these Jews here. We've got the church, the word being given, taught absolutely sincerely, because Paul was the last of the apostles, taught by Jesus Christ personally for 14 years. And we have that in the scriptures where Jesus taught Paul. So Paul then, who is this incredibly learned Jew, did not need to take us back to a messianically bound legalistic scripture, but taught it, revealed it all to us so that we have it in the New Testament.
But what approach does the Word of God give us for testing the spirits? It is dangerous work to talk about this. It's a hazardous occupation. We are entirely likely to be labeled, and in fact a lot of us already have been, Pharisees and hate mongers and witch hunters and divisive. But people, Romans 16 tells us that it is those who are going contrary to the revealed word of God who are causing the division. Jude tells you that. Those who are departing from the truth of the Word of God are the ones who are causing the factions and the divisions and the dissension, not the tiny remnant who are standing up and saying, well, wait a minute, something's not right here. We need to look into this. Is it possible you've been deceived? Is it possible I've been deceived? That was the key question that got me out of the occult. Jude chapter 3, and I hope you've got your Bibles, because we're going to be looking in the Word of God. Jude chapter 3. There's only one chapter. I mean verse 3. You know what I mean. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all, Rick Joyner, Peter Wagner, handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those that were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Why should we test the spirits? Well, for starters, because God commands it. How's that for a place to start? Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. In 1 John 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." He's saying this to Christians. John MacArthur has the perspective that if you are a mature Christian, if you are mature in the faith, you can't possibly be deceived. Look at his John MacArthur study Bible, Matthew 24. His little note, can a Christian be deceived? Oh no, not possible. Want to bet? Here, the Word of God, written to believers, says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God." Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So he's telling us that there is a reason to be alert. And do not listen to those individuals who will come waddling up to you like John Arnott, of what I understand now used to be. He changed the name of his church, is that right? Isn't that just like the occultists? Once you catch on to them, all they do is they change the name of the thing and they still have the same principles in there and everybody gets sucked in because, golly, it's got a new name. John Arnott, who used to be head of the Toronto Vineyard, said, "Don't even entertain the thought that you might get a counterfeit. Our great big God is bigger than your nasty little old mean devil. Don't even entertain," which, from where I'm looking at it, is a direct contradiction to the command of the Lord to test the spirits. John Wimber said that to me directly. I got out of the occult, and then I joined the church. And was I surprised to find that virtually every aspect of occultism that I had left behind, the guided imagery visualization, the yoga, the mantras, the meditation techniques, everything but the old lady standing there splitting people open with a rusty hunting knife and an old pair of scissors, all of that was in the church. And when I went to John Wimber and I said, "Why are you promoting Agnes Stanford? Why are you promoting Olga Worrell? Why are you promoting Morton Kelsey, these hardcore occultists?" He said, "Oh, there, dear. The Spirit of God is big enough to sort it all out." And I said, "Yeah, but you've got all these people standing up here saying, 'Thus saith the Lord.' And I know it's not coming true." We don't want to quench the Spirit. God will sort it out. And he literally patted me on the head. Ah, yeah. He's lucky I am a submissive and godly woman. But deception and apostasy is the key sign of the end of the age. We've already looked at some of these passages during the course of the last 2 days, but turn to it again. Matthew chapter 24. When Jesus was asked, "Lord, what are the signs of the end of the age and your coming?" He said to him, "Oh, my little ones, don't worry about it. It's none of your concern." Huh? You cannot take Acts 1:16 and lump it in to Matthew 24 and make the two coincide, all right? He says the following. He says to them, "See to it," in verse 4, "that no one misleads you." Sign number one. We all know about the wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, the famines, things that have always happened in the world but now are coming together on an unprecedented scale. Things that we have not seen, and especially, you know, since when? Since 1948, the establishment of the State of Israel. Since that time, God's time clock seems to have sped up, and all of these things that Jesus told us about, that we have always had, the false Christ and the false prophets and all of these plagues and famines and the wars and the rumors of wars, but now on an unprecedented level. And in verse 4, he says to them, "See to it, no one mislead you. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am the anointed one,' and will deceive many." Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a title which means Messiah. Christ, the one who is anointed by God to be the Savior of Israel. Now you've got about 6 billion little self-appointed, self-anointed messiahs who, the minute you question them, start shooting at you at YouTube saying, "Thou shalt not touch God's anointed." Jackie, you did a masterful job exposing a lot of that. I really commend you. I really enjoyed your book and was blessed by it. I learned a lot. In verse 11, after Jesus says in verse 10, "At that time many will fall away Jesus is telling you many are falling away. He's talking about an apostasy here, a turning away from something you knew to be true and now accepting something that is a lie. Many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets, Kim Clement, Rick Joyner, Todd Bentley, et al., ad nauseum, many false prophets will arise and will what? Mislead many. And then, in case you didn't get it the first couple of times around, he tells you in verse 23, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, he's in my trailer sprinkling pixie dust on me, don't I glow pretty? Don't believe him. Why? For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show, now here's an interesting set of terms, great signs and wonders, so as to mislead where it possible. First class conditional clause, unique construction found only in this place. Don't be too impressed. That's the only Greek I know, and somebody told me, who is a Greek scholar. First class clause, conditional, unique construction found only in this passage, if it were possible to deceive the elect. And guess what? It is. If for a short while, the true elect, the true believers of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, those will turn back away from deception. But he's saying that whoever these false Christs and the false prophets who are coming, setting up the stage for the one world government and the one world Christ and the one world, are going to have genuine power. The question we need to ask is, where are they getting it, and how do we spot them? So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, don't go out, or he's in the inner rooms, don't believe them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn to that if you will. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we get a wonderful, terrifying, fascinating bit of instruction about what this one world ruler that we're being carefully prepared for is going to be like. The man of lawlessness. And it tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 8, the one, well, let's take it a little further back. Let's take it, why don't we, from verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no one in any way deceive you. If you start reading the epistles and the gospels, not to mention Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and etc., with an eye for it, you will start seeing over and over and over and over again, be alert, don't be deceived, don't be taken in. Let no one in any way deceive you. They were talking about, hey, heads up, there's some nincompoop jack hammers out there who are passing out letters pretending to be us. I mean that, of course, in the strictly zoological sense, who are pretending to be us, and they're putting my name on letters saying this has already happened. Don't be deceived. Just because it's got my name on it doesn't mean I wrote it. Here's the truth about it. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the great day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first. What we're seeing now is the preparation for the great apostasy. And what is that great apostasy going to look like? When the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple, displaying himself as being God. Back when I was growing up, and I guess most of you here, somebody stood up and said, I am God, you just said, isn't that cute? And you'd have put him right next to the guy who claimed he's a poached egg, like C.S. Lewis said, and wondered where you might find him a nice crispy piece of toast that he might sit on. I am God. Now, who does that catch off guard? Absolutely no one. Not since Shirley MacLaine stood up there in the sea by the shores of the Pacific proclaiming, I am God. Tentatively at first and then stronger with more resolve. I am God. No, what she am is a blasphemer.
That was Johanna Michelson, the author of The Beautiful Side of Evil. And before her was Carol Matriciana. Her new film called White is the Gate is going to, part of it's going to be previewed on the day after the conference on Sunday, September 18th from 6 to 8 at Calvary Chapel, Cyprus. Do come out. They're going to have a question and answer time with her and both Chris Quintana and Johanna Michelson, who also participated in that documentary. So hope to see you next week. In the meantime, keep on the lookout.
back.